This is Teen Tech Talk, episode number 32 for July 5th, 2006. Joined here with Jeff Delowey and Evan Mancini. All right, it's recording, and we'll start now. Jeff, you want to talk about something?
Well, yeah, I guess I'll talk about it. This month in Playlist Magazine, which I just learned about, and Macworld Magazine, my application, Cripio, is featured in it under an article about iTunes, and they write about it. And that's pretty much it. I'm pretty excited that it's in Macworld. That I was... One of my goals was to get it into Macworld, and I was pleasantly surprised to hear from Corey the other day when he told me that it was in there, and I still haven't seen it. I went to Borders to see if it was on the newsstand yet. It's not there yet, and I didn't get it in the mail since I have a subscription to it. So I'm still waiting, but we'll see.
Good deal. Yes. Is there a website for this magazine that we can check out?
I posted a link up to the Playlist Magazine. They have the article online. But Macworld Magazine is just macworld.com. It's the biggest Mac magazine out there. But if you go to nclasssoftware.com and click on blog, I posted a picture that Corey took, and I put a link up there also to the Playlist Magazine. So check it out at nclasssoftware.com, along with Cripio. So
yeah, I'll put a link to the in-class software in the show notes. So
yeah, I'm getting ready to. After this, I'm going out to a diner where my friend works at, and I'm gonna program there for a while because they have free Wi-Fi.
Oh, nice. That's a good deal.
Hopefully, I get free food. So.
Well.
And unlimited coffee. So.
Well, on Dig, there's a story that says AMD buys ATI, but it says that it's reported that it's possibly inaccurate, so I don't know how much truth there is to it, but I know there's been talk. I've seen a lot of articles about AMD and ATI, but I don't know if anything's final or if they've even talked about it.
Yeah, that seems... it seems somewhat unlikely, although AMD and ATI have done a lot of work, even some marketing work together. But I'm just not so sure about that until it's reported on a more reliable source, say Slashdot. I mean, if it starts popping up on Slashdot, I'll certainly consider it as a personality. But where did you say that you saw that?
It was just a Dig link to OCWorkbench.com. No, I have not heard of that. So.
Well, see, I saw something on Shoutcast regarding that, but all I did was read the headline. I was in the middle of something, so I didn't click the article link. But Shoutcast has been known to be inaccurate and just a place for people to vent off in. So it's in short, it's not reliable. But it's interesting that we should find two sources that say something like that. Yeah. So I'd definitely be looking on slashdot.org for anything pertaining to that. But
I'm looking here on Wikipedia. I'm trying to find their company's market cap, so I can't find that, but I can find the revenue. AMD's revenue for 2005 was $5 billion and ATI was $2.2 billion. I don't know the market share, the market cap, so I don't know how much either one is worth. But obviously, AMD has more revenue, so, and larger companies. So
yeah,
it's possible.
Yeah, I was reading the comments of the Dig article. People were talking about, now Intel's going to go and buy Nvidia because Intel's graphics sucks and stuff like that. I found that quite funny.
Well, I think there would be some antitrust that.
Exactly, I was about to mention. Specifically Intel buying or merging at all, any sort of joining with NVIDIA, I find that even more unlikely.
Yeah.
But hey, but my gaming machine, it's an AMD ATI machine, and if they could manage to do the merging or the buying process right and not have customer support, etc., suffer, I certainly wouldn't have any problems with that as a consumer.
Yeah, I love my AMD processor.
Oh god, yes.
I've had it for a couple months and it's awesome.
Remind us what model you have?
The AMD 64-bit 4000 plus.
Yeah. See, I mean, I have the older version. That's everything in the 64-bit series, the 3000 pluses and up, is in the socket 939. The 3000 plus also comes in the socket 768, which is what I have.
Yeah,
and that is clocked at 2 gigahertz, whereas the socket 939 is clocked at 1.8, but it's just the socket 939 provides a higher bandwidth, so that's the reasoning there.
Yeah, I have a 754 where the socket is for my server runs using that AMD chip, and I love it. It has great performance, and I'm running Gen 2 Linux compiled on it. So.
Yeah, that's the processor that's in my gaming machine right now. I mean, it's dual booted with Gen 2 Linux right now and Windows XP Professional, and it's absolutely amazing. It is certainly not the bottleneck of my system.
What stage Gen 2 is it?
I'd have to check. I'm not sure.
Is it stage but one? Compile everything.
Sorry.
Because stage one is where you compile everything from source. That's what my server was in.
Yeah. I had it running on Fedora Core 5 for a while, once that came out in April, I believe it was. But there's just not enough support for it, and what I was really looking for was to be getting rid of Windows and running Wine support on it. However, that does not exist yet for Fedora Core 5. Hmm.
And I have the Intel Core Duo in my iMac, and that's pretty fast. It's a screamer, I think. So, I think Intel has some good chips coming out too. So,
oh yeah,
especially with the new Power Macs that Apple has to release. I'm sure Apple's gonna force Intel to create higher power chips to go into those machines.
Yes.
Yeah.
See, one thing. Sorry.
Go ahead.
See, one thing about the iMac, I'm just saying today they released the $899 iMac for students and stuff. I think that's a really good deal, because I know someone looking to buy a new computer. I was saying the Mac Mini, but now for $800 or whatever, it's a really great deal. You can't get a Dell system. Like, this is better than a Dell system that you can get with the monitor and everything. So I think it's a really good push in the right direction.
Certainly, and it's not just that AMD. It's not just that. Excuse me. Apple is going to be pushing Intel to develop higher end chips because Apple is interested in creating high end machines. That their Intel's market has expanded now that Apple is using Intel chips.
Yeah.
And so there's going to be greater consumer demand for more processors, just in terms of volume, and so there's certainly easily going to be funding for the expansion of research into higher end processors, and so I'd definitely be looking to Intel for that sort of thing.
Definitely. So, what's next?
Well, if you guys don't mind, we'd like to turn our attention to the gaming realm.
Why not?
All right. I don't know how many people out there have an Xbox 360 or...
Sigh.
Yes, either a 360 or a PC good enough to run this game, but there's a new game that's been making the rounds. It's been making the rounds in the PC gaming magazines for a while, and a PC and 360 demo has just been released. The game is called Prey. I don't know if either of you have heard of it.
I have not.
It's PR. It's PREY. PREY, not PRAY.
I saw a box in Borders. I mean, Best Buy, but I didn't check it out.
Yeah, it's really quite something. It's, I work at Game Frog Cafe, which is a gaming pad in my local area, and there's been an amazing demand. We get several dozen people a day coming in asking if we have the Prey demo on either our 360s or our PCs, and so we've put it on there. In fact, we have LAN nights every Friday night where people come in and make pickup groups and play, you know, CS tournaments and stuff. But recently they've been playing this game, and it's really quite amazing. You play as a modern day Cherokee tribesman. You're probably in your mid-20s or so, and it's really quite something. I won't give away too much of what the demo tells you, but
wait, but when you're saying a modern day Cherokee tribesman, what does that mean? Are you running an Indian casino or something?
Well, you live on a reservation, and but it doesn't really go into what you do there. Really, it focuses on your desire to get off the reservation. You're disgruntled. You don't believe in a lot of the traditional Cherokee ways. And then there's this conflict with your girlfriend and stuff. But I mean, the story is interesting. But really, I've only played the demo. I don't know if there's a beta that you can get into, but I've only played the demo, and there's not really enough there to talk more about the storyline of the game.
So I have another question. What kind of people come into the store? Was there some interesting people coming to the store? I could just see it right now.
Well, when it first opens up, there's all this dialogue going on with you and your grandpa, and then your girlfriend who works at the bar, and you end up. It's like 1 a.m. and she's closing the bar, and there are these two guys sitting there, and they're drunk, and they get angry because she's closing the bar, and they start trying to go after her, and you end up starting a bar fight with her right at the beginning of the game, and so you get to beat these two old drunkards up with a pipe wrench to
That's
start the
awesome.
Game off. Yeah, it's a lot of fun, and then you're abducted by aliens, and it's really a bizarre storyline, but it really works. The gameplay is amazing. The way the story is told is very similar to what you might say in Half-Life 2. It's very much divided into chapters, and things are slowly revealed. There are a lot of plot twists, even just in the demo. And there's not a lot that's directly given to you. There's a lot of extrapolating and speculating on the part of the player. And so anyone who is interested in it, just Google Prey, PREY, if you want to download it for your computer. I'm not sure the exact site.
It's prey.com. I actually went there, and they have like an age verification thing. And
oh, yeah.
Get in. And then it started playing this Flash music, and I had to back real quick before it started feeding into my microphone and messing up the podcast. But
Or you can download it if you own a 360, download it, or go. If there's a gaming pad in your area, if you don't have a 360, or I'm not sure what engine it runs on, but it's fairly taxing on it's fairly taxing on your computer, especially the graphics. And so if you don't have either a 360 or a PC that's good enough to play, go into your local gaming pad and check it out. It's pretty cool stuff. I've played the multiplayer a lot too. I've played several hours of that. Like I said, they've been playing it at on Friday nights at the gaming pad, and the multiplayer is like a fast-paced Quake-style deathmatch with a lot of twists. There's actually in the single player and in the multiplayer, everything's based around the alien technology, and so there's all these gravity generators and stuff, so you end up being able to walk on the walls and the ceiling, and it really adds a whole bunch of new angles to just the traditional fast-paced but good base Quake-style deathmatch. And then I assume there's, released in the demo, is deathmatch and team deathmatch, and I assume there will be other game types, specifically Capture the Flag, released in the full version.
Yeah, I'm looking at the website right now. It looks amazing.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it's talking about aliens turned Tommy's life upside down, and now he's back to return the favor, or something like that. I don't know.
Yeah,
it looks amazing.
The baseline of the story is, you know, they capture your girlfriend, and you're out just... They're doing horror things. Actually, there's this one part, if anybody's played through Quake 4, the part where you're in the Strog factory and you're being turned into a Strog.
Yes.
There's a part where that reminds me a lot of that. And so from this torture of your fellow humans develops in the character of Tommy, who you play as, develops this kind of just personal vendetta against the aliens. And so you just go around destroying them. And it's fun, but, and like I said, that it's not a C-rated game. This is a game that I've been playing a lot of Warcraft lately. I got addicted to that, and this is one game that has turned me back on to first-person shooters in general and playing first-person shooters online, not just renting the game or going into the gaming pad and playing through the single player there. And then
Counter-Strike.
Counter-Strike, yeah.
See? So it's a detox game.
Yes, in many ways it is. It's therapeutical gaming.
I call it the summer diet plan. Games like World of Warcraft. Because you sit there and you play them 24-7 and don't get up to go to the bathroom. And you're just playing them. So summer diet plan.
What are the age of the people that are coming in and asking about it?
I think the youngest I've seen is looked to be 14 or 15, and then we get a fairly high volume of people in there who are older, and so, you know, a lot of, especially just about every older, what I mean by older is, you know, over 20 or 21. I think every person of that age who has walked in has generally asked about it, and. Recently, I've been happy to say that we do have it both on 360 and PC now. And so, like I said, download it on your preferred platform and play it. Check out the multiplayer. It's absolutely incredible. There were some problems with the server-side programming, but I think they've patched that, and it's better now, and they're running some official servers. So check it out.
Yeah, the download for PC is 448.8 megabytes, and that's really bad considering I'm running an 802.11b wireless card in my desktop, so that's going to be a while. Well, I'm 8% done.
He's already started. Well,
oh yeah.
From a technical standpoint, really the 802.11b card really shouldn't be the bottleneck of your connection. You would have to have some, unless it's just bad signaling.
Corey, I have a question.
Probably. Yeah.
Is it really smart to be downloading something now as you're hosting the Skype conference?
I was just about to ask that.
Maybe you should cancel it.
I'm not hosting the Skype conference on this computer.
It's on the same network.
If you're using Firefox, there's a wonderful button called pause. I would suggest it right now.
Oh, yes. Oh, yay.
Or cancel.
No, pause is good. 53.2 of 448 megabytes. Yay.
Not bad. Yeah, well, that is my that's my talk about games for the night.
Yeah, that looks awesome. Let's see what else. Slash.open.
There was a good article online. I guess I'll go back to Mac because we're all doing little fields today. On philaroo.com, it's philryu.com. It's a new semi-new blog. And he is posting about the top 10 most beautiful Mac OS X apps. And coming in number one is a really cool app called Delicious Library. I've been holding off buying it because I'm waiting for the version 2 to come out, which, I don't know, would be, I guess, in the coming months. But it's a really cool app that utilizes your eyesight. Either if you have a regular iSight or an iSight built into your MacBook, MacBook Pro, or iMac, and you can use that, and it acts as like a little barcode scanner, and you can scan in your whole book library, DVD library, game library, CD library, all that stuff, and you can like check it out to your friends and stuff. It's pretty cool, and you can sell them through there. It's a cool app, but check out, if you use a Mac, check out the site for it. It's a really nice list of really good apps that have really great user interfaces.
That sounds pretty cool.
Sadly, I am not a Mac user. So.
Yeah, see, I was about to say the only Mac I have in the house is currently my mom's eMac, and that's her computer, and she generally doesn't allow me on it. But I've gone from time to time to check out some of these apps because there's a lot of cool development going on.
Yeah, but the coolest
by Apple and
the coolest is Criptio by far.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, right. But, yeah. So that's it.
Well, while we're talking about Apple products,
as we always do, it seems.
There's now a recording dock for your iPod video. It's called the iLove, and it takes your computer completely out of the sequence of putting things on your iPod. You can plug it into almost any TV source, and it records it using the dock connector on the bottom of your iPod directly into your iPod, like TV shows or from your DVR, things like that.
Does this use just, on the TV side, does this use just a standard 3 connector, red, white, yellow AV connection?
I'm assuming so. I'm just reading the Engadget blurb, but I wouldn't see any other way that they would do it.
There is CVI, but only more recent TVs have CVI.
No, it's HDMI 1020p of course. Okay. That was a joke.
It's $200, I think. So probably
really?
Yeah.
That's not bad.
I mean, considering it's a DVR basically for your, and you can take it out on the go. I mean you've got a 60 gig DVR right there. I mean, that seems pretty reasonable, I guess.
That seems fairly reasonable. Honestly, I'm more of a do-it-yourselfer when it comes to that sort of thing. Even if it involves a little bit of hardware/software hacking, my dad is generally pretty good at that sort of thing, and we've been working on a project recently to build our own DVR. It's not really come out of the thought stage. We're still planning it, but
are you gonna make a myth box?
Yes,
sorry?
I was gonna say that.
Are you gonna make a myth box?
No, we're I actually don't know what that is.
It's called, and there's like Freevo and this other thing that.
It's called Myth TV, and it's a Linux distribution, and it's a DVR. I mean, there's actually Kevin Rose does his video online TV thingy system in one of his episodes. We're actually talking about installing it and going through all the steps, and it seems
really
pretty
cool.
Decent, yeah.
Well, you want to check.
Can have it as a, they have a live CD kind of and with an installer, or you can also download for I think it's on the Gentoo Portage, and also Fedora has things, but you can find it anywhere.
That's
really cool.
Cool.
Yeah, and you can have, say, a server. You can have, say, one computer hooked up to the TV, like, say, like a low-powered computer, and then you can have another computer that acts as a server, and that records all TV shows and all the stuff, and just have a front end on the other one. It's pretty cool, and you can store all your movies there. It's pretty slick.
That sounds pretty cool. I mean, that sounds basically what we were thinking of doing, except we are gonna just build a box, a Linux box that acts as that sort of server, and just stick just a massive or a couple hard drives in there, possibly in a non-redundant RAID if we have enough of them, and then that would act as a recording server. You know, stick a TV tuner card in there, but we're gonna write our own software because my dad is extremely experienced in that sort of thing.
What is he coding?
I have a decent. Excuse me.
What is he coding?
Pretty much everything. I'm not. He didn't mention. We were talking about this the other day, specifically the software part, and he didn't say what he thought he would use. But I mean, he knows C variants, Java, Perl, PHP. In fact, he worked. He was on the IEEE Board of Governors at one point, and he helped. If you've ever He helped design VHDL, which is an old and little-known language, but it's used in a lot of applications.
Cool.
And so I was gonna let him mostly handle that as long as I learned a little bit from it.
Yeah, well, now if you use MythUE, you can have him contribute to the open-source community and the open-source effort for it.
Yeah.
Perhaps, yeah, maybe I'll suggest that. That'd be really cool. But we're also going to write a little client software where you could actually stream video over the network to any computer in the house without needing a TV tuner card in that particular computer.
Well, you can do that with MythTV also.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And you can also do it, and you can. They have a front end for Mac too.
Yeah, nice. One of the examples is just to have a big bulky computer in your closet and then use a Mac Mini as the front end, and just have it, you know, sitting in your living room.
Well, see, this was like our bright idea for a summer project, and it's that sort of thing that it seems like such a good idea, and then you have all these, you know, sub ideas popping out, and then you find out that somebody's already thought of it. But
yeah.
It's, you know, it's just, as long as it's open source, I don't have a problem with that because, you know, my dad would certainly be open to contributing to that.
Well, you can always,
if we could.
You can always build a better mousetrap and, you know, make it better to make your own.
True. Well, yeah, but of course that would involve actually using the free box and looking at it and then, you know, and then trying to find ways to improve on it, but. That would
Whatever.
Be, yeah, you know, as long as it works.
Exactly.
It's sadly, I'm not a big programmer. I mean, other than web development, PHP and CSS. Other than that,
quasi-programming.
Yeah. Quasi-programming.
Actually, I do know Visual Basic, but...
Oh, please don't admit that.
Scourged upon this earth, Visual Basic is. Please, Corey, I mean... You really should look into learning a real hardcore programming language.
Oh yeah, I do plan on it. I mean, lazy.
Grab yourself a book for Jeff. What do you know outside of the normal, what you describe as quasi programming?
I know. Well, one of the weirdest ones I know is for the Apple One and I guess Apple Two is a 6502 assembler. I had to know it for a little Mac I made, a little replica of an Apple One, but also I know C, Java, unfortunately, and I primarily code in Objective-C, which is Cocoa for the Mac.
Yeah, see, I'm actually bigger on Java than I am on C, but that's probably due to the fact that I don't know as much C as I should. I've delved into C and C++. I own a couple books, but... I'm a big Java guy at the moment.
Yeah, Java's nice, but the one thing I don't like, A, you're so far away from the computer, like the real low-level stuff, which I like, and also, it's just dog slow.
Yeah, that's definitely true, and especially, like, Corey, if you're looking for a learning experience, if you're really looking to delve into computers and learn about their inner workings on, you know, the lower software levels, you know, you definitely want to look at C for just the reasons that Jeff said.
Yeah, that's
because you really see you really get closer to a lot of, you know, the lowest of the lowest levels of software on the computer.
Then there's also assembler you can learn.
Mm.
Which will be the lowest you can go, I guess.
Yeah, I've been looking into a programming language to learn, and C is kind of stuck with me, so probably...
Go for it.
Yeah, go buy a book and work through it. I mean,
the best book to get, which is the kind of the gold standard, it's, the, I guess, you call it probably the first C book, I guess it is, but it's called The C Programming Language by Kernahan and Ritchie, and... They wrote it at Bell Labs to work with, because C was written at Bell Labs for Unix, and Ritchie and Kernahan both worked on Unix, worked with it and stuff. And so that's a really good book, and that's the first book they ever used Hello World. That's where it was coined, and so I have it, and it's a really good book. I recommend that. And also,
yeah.
I bought a new book right that deals with... That for a course we'll be taking college next year, I think so, but it's from MIT Press. It's called How to Design Programs, and they use Scheme in that. And also, MIT has videos from, like, 1984. They posted online, like, 10 hours of videos of this one class. They posted all the classes up online, and you can learn that way if you really want to.
Well, I mean, you can learn, you know, get a bunch of material. You can just pile together as much free material as you can. Then, you know, go out and buy yourself a good book, like the one Jeff was suggesting, and then
use
all of that
right
collectively.
Yeah, it's a little expensive, but it's really worth it.
$44 or $44.20, but
it's worth it. Yeah,
programming books are generally expensive, but
hey, but you can make it. You know, maybe if you make a great app and people start buying it, it's worth it.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, and Jeff, have you come up with any plan for maybe a premium of your application, or are you all open source?
Cripio is going to stay open source, but I'm going to I laid out kind of the roadmap on the latest post on the N-Class Software blog, but I'm still in the planning stages of the next app, which will most likely be a pay app, but like $5, $10 at the most.
Oh, yeah.
So relatively cheap.
Mm-hmm.
So, but right now I don't have any money. It would be nice. I've had a lot of downloads for Gripio, so if I sold it for $5, I'd be pretty happy.
Yeah, what's your latest count on your download for Gripio?
From all versions I've had over 50,000.
Hmm.
On the latest version, over 8,000.
And for Evan or anybody else that doesn't know what Cripio is, it's a iTunes artwork. And I guess what would you classify it as, a just iTunes
utility
organizer kind of a application?
Well, yeah, now I'm promoting it as more of an iTunes companion. So it fills in all the missing things that if you import a CD into iTunes, Cripio will do the rest as a standalone product, but you can it'll fill in all the rest that's left out of all the information that's found from the CDDB, or the information you miss out if you download it by other means. But it'll get, you know, the main thing is getting artwork. It gets nice, beautiful artwork for you with Front Row and your iPod, and added features are now to fix and get song information, like fixing capitalizations and then going to the web and downloading the year the album was made and who wrote the song and the album and all that stuff if it's missing. And then next release is going to have lyrics, so you can you had lyrics on iTunes and also transfer the lyrics onto your iPod for each song if you do so wish. Mm. And so it's just a companion app.
That sounds quite, you know, extensive companion app. It sounds like, you know, the piece of the puzzle, what's missing from iTunes, like you said.
Exactly.
So that sounds amazing. I'm a huge iTunes user. I have Winamp on my computer, of course, but I've always used iTunes even on my Windows machines, and I'm definitely checking that out as we speak.
And also, well, if you're on Windows, you can try our other app called Mamba, music organizer that will not do artwork. It may in the future. We plan it, but it has. You need to get the latest .NET because it's coded in C#, and it's also Vista capable if you have Vista beta. But it just fixes tags, get more information off the web, and fix capitalizations and get the song name and
awesome
track number and things. So it does a lot of stuff. But the reason I did Cripio is because on the Mac there's a lot of scripts and widgets and stuff that each maybe do one thing, or they go to Amazon, or gets Amazon artwork, and another widget will get lyrics, another one will, you know, do that, and maybe there's an app that does tags. But what I wanted to do together was bring it all together in one slick interface and make it easy for the user to do that stuff. So,
how long has this project? I don't want to spend too much time on this because I'm sure you guys have already talked about it, but I'm curious how long this project has been in development.
I released the first version, the first beta, on March 15th, I think, and I've been coding it since mid-January. But there's a large gap in February that, like, I couldn't get. There was one, like, block. It's called a programmer's block. I couldn't get past one thing, but then I fixed it. And so
that's awesome.
I hope they have version 1.0 out by October.
Cool deal. Well, I will certainly be looking out for it.
Yeah.
Certainly an exciting thing.
And if Hell freezes over and for some reason I win the Apple Design Awards, which I won't, when I'm in California, I'll be sure to let you know.
Where are you going to school? Do you know yet?
Yeah, I'm going to Northeastern University in Boston. So, and summer, if you don't know, some people, I'm going to the Worldwide Developer Conference, Apple's Worldwide Developer Conference, in August. So
fun stuff. Yeah. I have no such aspirations such as Northeast, but I'm hoping to head to Virginia Tech as my choice school. Yeah, I have a lot of friends who go there. I'm really excited about the possibility of going there. So,
yeah, I chose Northeastern mostly because I had a good computer science program, and also because it was Boston. It's right downtown Boston, and so there's a lot of events, computer things, and I already have all the computer club meetings that are at MIT set up. So,
cool.
Yeah. So, Cora, I think we should be wrapping this up soon.
All right. Unless there's anything else anybody else wants to talk about.
No.
All right, then we can close it out. Good night.
All right. Yep.
Good night, everybody. Good
night. All right, that's it.
All right.
Good deal.
Yep. So I'm going to save this right now as we speak, before I even touch it.